Depending on conditions in occupied North America, the Anglo Indian may or may not employ harsh language.
International news, thought and opinion from the people on the front lines of indigenous struggle. This is Intelligence Aboriginal Radio.
Are we to allow the creation of an unwanted third race? Should the coloureds be encouraged to go back to the black? Or should they be advanced to white status and be absorbed in the white population? Now, time and again, I am asked by some white man, if I marry this coloured person, will our children be black? And as chief protector of Aborigines, it is my responsibility to accept or reject those marriages. Here is the answer. Three generations. Half-blood grandmother, quadroon daughter, octoroon grandson. Now, as you can see, in the third generation, or third cross, no trace of native origin is apparent. The continuing infiltration of white blood finally stamps out the black colour. The Aboriginal has simply been bred out.
Angry Indian Radio.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
You are listening to the Angry Indian on Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. Real talk for the fourth world.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Who are you? You don't know? Don't tell me Negro, that's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? And where were you? And what did you have? What was yours? And how did he take it? What gun did you see? Where is your history? How did the man wipe out your history? How did the man, what did the man do to make you as dumb as you are right now?
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
All Indians, all over the land, all saying the same thing. This is our homeland. This is our birthright. They don't want any white man comes in here and tell us that you have to divide this up this way or that way. The white man doesn't own this land. Just because he has a gun, he said, I took your land.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio.
Transmitting from within the occupied Aboriginal territories of North America to the people of the Fourth World and all ships at sea. This is Radio Intelligente Indigena.
Internet radio for smart Aboriginal.
Este es Aborigen Inteligente de Radio.
This is Radio Inteligente de Indigena.
Welcome along, welcome along, welcome back to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. I'm your host, the Angry Indian. This is the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service, broadcasting to the international Aboriginal community from radioforall.net. And we are also blogging this podcast from our feed burner RSS feed at Fourth World Radio. And we are carried by an ever-widening network of independent information providers not financially hamstrung by the corporatist news model, and that includes Berkeley Liberation Radio. I've been checking them out. They've been playing us for, about a month or so. And I've been checking out their programming. It's very good. You really need to go over there and check it out at berkeleyliberationradio.org. And as usual, we are blogging all the things, all the items, all the thoughts and ideas that you hear are being basically provided for by news media, which you can check out at aboriginalpressnews.tumblr.com and aboriginalpress.wordpress.com. You may also leave us a polite voicemail at Aboriginal Media Group via Google Talk, and you can always email our studios at aboriginalradio@lavabit.com. I welcome back my brothers and sisters of the fourth world, our non-Aboriginal ideological comrades, and the negative elements don't be opposed to human justice and social harmony. But in spite of all that, they take the time to listen to this show on the sly anyway. This is Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. So yeah, JT Reddy. I mean, what can be said about JT Reddy? JT Reddy was a Nazi. JT Reddy was a racist. So I have to assume that his woman was a racist. I have to assume that her family were bigots. So, you know, I mean, what can I say? I'm not losing any sleep over this. I mean, I feel bad that I understand that there was a toddler involved. And, you know, that's a shame, of course. But, you know, you know full well that the racial profiling of all white men that should have began yesterday in terms of this sort of... I mean, after what happened in Oklahoma here, you would think, you know, with the mindset here, you know, the punitive mindset in the United States, you would think that all white males who looked anything like Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols, you know, the cat that they don't really talk about too much, he was part of that, even though there were others, but that particular cat that was part of that, who went over to the Philippines to get himself a male bride, who accompanied him to all of these white supremacist meetings and what have you. I mean, when Ted Nugent, I said this before and I'm going to say it again, because the hypocrisy is amazing. When Ted Nugent was talking his crapola here a few weeks ago, what was it, about a fortnight ago or more? About what he was saying about the state of affairs in the United States. And it's like, you know, why are you paying attention to anything a draft dodger has to say? And this is why I don't listen to anything. You know, Herbert Walker Bush? Yeah, I'll pay attention to him. He served when it comes to this kind of thing. His son? No, I don't want to hear it. He never served. And he won't let his daughters go. So no, I don't want to hear it. Cheney? No, he got 5 goddamn deferments. I don't want to hear anything from him when it comes to war and security and violence and what have you. I don't want to hear it. Yeah, you got Alan West, and yeah, he served, but why did he leave? And how did he leave? And you know, what went down with that? What went down with that? You know, I mean, John McCain served. Which proves what? You know, I mean, no one I know who ever served in the Navy has much respect for McCain, because they know about McCain. They know about, you know, incidents that involved McCain. And people who really did earn their flag rank status, you know, really don't have any respect for John McCain. As a politician, or as somebody who had strings pulled because of his connections. You know, I mean, not everybody has a father that's an admiral, you know. So, it is what it is. And I'm not making any judgment calls. See, I'm only holding what the people who do make judgment calls, you know, this is the standard that they hold everybody else to. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? This is the standard that they hold everybody else to. And, you know, this is why the whole thing about JT Reddy, I think, is important, because, you know, here you have the American Nazi Party can now legally lobby in the United States. So it's like any other political party. You have Fox News in Florida, who refers to the neo-Nazis down there when they were discussing the Trayvon Martin case and how Zimmerman was allowed to walk the street. And basically, it wasn't for the fact that bloggers got on this. If the blogosphere had not said anything about this, we'd all would have forgotten about this, because there's Kenneth Chamberlain, isn't there? There's still Oscar Grant, isn't there? There's still Sean Bell that could be discussed, isn't there? There's Ayanna Jones, there's Derek Jones, right? Or Molly Graham. And these are just the names that I can pull off the top of my head. You dig? So JT Reddy goes berserk here, and Shauna Ford and her crew, All of these anti-immigrant white supremacist people, they go berserk. Von Braun, whatever his first name was, he goes into the Holocaust Museum, shoots and kills an African-American security guard. They find all kinds of freak shit on his computer. No, we don't hear about that, right? You know, you had these other fools that were going here inspired by Glenn Beck going down to the Tyus Foundation. You know, we're not discussing any of this. And then we have what happened to uh, in Arizona, the crazy state, with this Jared Lee Loughner. And no, you know, nobody wants to accept. Nobody wants to accept, you know, Anders Breivik. I mean, do we see what's going on with Anders Breivik and his connections to the far right in the United States? I mean, I'm sure that if you do a good enough search, and we're considering doing that here, you know, to really take the time to do a real study and see if there are connections that we can find between Anders Breivik and J.T. Redding. Because we know full well that Anders Breivik was inspired by, or has been, or is still being continuously inspired by Robert Spencer, Pamela Geller, one can even assume Alex Jones, because it turns out here, we have some audio we're going to play. Alex Jones and his InfoWars crew, because there have been people who have asked me, well, why haven't you hooked up with Alex Jones? And I'm like, well, because, you know, I listen to Alex Jones' show. I do. You know, I've been told that his people listen to this podcast. You know, I don't know. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. I don't know. But no, I haven't had him on here, because even though I have written, because I understand this, that he and somebody who really does also run around with Nazis, Jeff Rentz, that there was some confusion supposedly in white supremacist circles on whether or not Alex Jones is one of them, because the rumor goes that, I don't know if this is true or not, that his wife is Jewish. So they question his support for Ron Paul based on that. No joke. No joke. You know, I mean, this is the type of thing that goes on. I mean, look, when you deal with crazy, crazy is what you get. When you deal with crazy, crazy is what you get. You can't expect anything other than that. So, you know, when you have people who are that paranoid, of course they're not going to trust somebody who might have a spouse that's Jewish, who might have a best friend that's Jewish. You know, of course they're going to be suspicious. You know, they're not suspicious, though, when they're sexual deviants, but they're suspicious when they have Jewish and African and Latino friends. But they're not suspicious when they have Native American friends, which I find pretty odd. And I also find it odd that there is an undercurrent in the Native American community in the United States. I can't speak for Canada, but in the United States, there's an undercurrent that no one really wants to admit to, a white supremacy. And I don't know where it's coming from, and I don't understand it. And what was his name? Jeff Weese? I believe that's how you pronounce his name. Jeff Weese, who went berserk in his Minnesota reservation not too long ago. This is several years ago, where he harmed all these people and then he committed suicide. And it turned out that he was running around on stormfront.org, the main neo-Nazi site, I believe, which is run by Don Black, a pal of Ron Paul. I mean, they're taking pictures together, they're smiling. He accepts money from Nazis, refuses to give the money back. I'm talking about Ron Paul now. Oh, the Ron Paul news, that was discredited, dude. It was? Why? Because you say so? He was the editor, owner, publisher of the Ron Paul newsletter. It's named after him. He has no responsibility if it was published in his own journal. Excuse me. I don't accept that. Because it's unacceptable. Especially if it's somebody who wants to run for president. You don't talk about, you know, Obama being irresponsible. What the hell do you call that? You publish material and then don't take responsibility for it? You going to have the nerve to talk about somebody else in terms of responsibility? It lacks credibility. And Ron Paul followers, I don't even care if they're African. I mean, there's a couple of them coming at me on Twitter trying to convince me somehow that I'm wrong about Ron Paul. No, I'm not. Ron Paul and JT Reddy can be fit into the same category. The difference between Ron Paul and JT Reddy is JT Reddy looks like he was, you know, 2 beers short of a six-pack, whereas Ron Paul can sit there in a suit and look smart and talk about Austrian economics, which is basically selfishness. Because if we know anything about Friedrich Hayek, all he talked about was everybody needs to just do for themselves and be vulture capitalists, and then, you know, folks who don't want to be taken advantage will simply have to be strong. You know, it's just total nonsense, total Malthusian nonsense. And, you know, I probably shouldn't even say Malthusian, because that's been thrown around a lot lately by a lot of people, including Alice Jones. But hang on for a second now. I want you to hear this. This is audio. I got it from one of these Patriot one of these Patriot sites. You know, I don't know what the hell they're thinking about in these different things, but it's pretty bad. and I want you to hear this. So this is JT Reddy explaining what his politics are in his own words.
You a national socialist? You think
I'm a national socialist?
But is it behind? I know that, like, I read the 25 points on your internet site.
Sure.
Isn't that stuff also supremacist?
Is that what the Jews are doing when they exclude the Palestinians?
I don't know. I'm
well, if you can tell me, you're using the words. I never said the word supremacist.
New American,
so don't put words in my mouth. I said I'm a national socialist.
But isn't that like Nazi Germany were national socialists?
Nazi Germany was a great country.
You mean like Adolf Hitler?
Adolf Hitler was an excellent white civil rights leader.
But didn't he murder a lot of innocent folks?
Nope.
He didn't kill 6 million Jews?
Nope. That's a lie.
Yeah, so let there be no ambiguity, folks. You know, it is what it is. JT Reddy was a Nazi. He was one of many. Many of these people are supportive of Ron Paul. Many of them will be voting for Ron Paul. And no matter what the Ron Paul camp wants to say, he has not done anything other than come out and say, I'm not responsible for anything. I'm not responsible for anything. You know, kind of like, you know, Romney. Oh, my money? I'm rich? And you asking me questions? I don't know. You're going to have to ask all my trustees. Ask my trustees. Oh, my Mormonism? Oh, I don't know. You're going to have to ask my trustees. You're going to have to ask my trustees. You know, to take responsibility for nothing. And this man wants to run for president? Excuse me. You know, as I said before, the Libertarian Party, you know, they're nothing but Republicans who smoke pot and have gay friends. And, you know, they want to be able to, you know, do what they want to do while restricting the rights of anybody who can't afford to do what they would like to do for themselves. You know, they're total plutocrats. They're racist. They're undercover about it. And, you know, for those of you who want to point to someone like Alan Rest, Alan Rest is a racist. You think Alan Rest gives a damn about black people? He doesn't give a damn about black people. He doesn't think he's black. He'll tell you he's an American. You know, he runs around with bikers. He's actually been connected to an outlaw biker group. You know, so, you know, I mean, look, we all have known that black guy out there that we probably went to high school, college with, who, you know, used to wear all of the, all of the band buttons and, you know, all of the badges from the heavy metal. I mean, he's like the only brother who knew who Jethro Tull was. In the United States, right? He's the only brother who knew who Jethro Tull was, and you get what I'm saying about this, and that's where I put Alan West. You know, same thing with Herman Cain. You know, you don't see him anymore. You know, Mr. 999. You know, he's gone. The Pizza Man is gone. You know, his campaign. Well, his campaign was over before it started, and I'm gonna cop this from somebody else. You know, it was a premeditated fail. You know, the same thing with Sheldon Adelson. You know, you just wasted $10 million on degenerates to prove to the Zionist community that you're down with them. It cost you 10 million quid to prove to these folks that you're one of them. And, you know, that's fine. But I also know full well that when you look at people like JT Reddy and so on, and how Fox is just playing them like violins and playing the American public like violins. And the fact that Rupert Murdoch, who was not an American, he's an American citizen now, so he didn't have to pay any taxes because Australia was taxing him like he should be taxed properly. You know, he's known as a fascist. I have had Australians tell me that he's actually, you know, some people refer to him as being more than a fascist. Mel Gibson's father is a pal of Rupert Murdoch's. And we all know where Mel Gibson is at when it comes to our Jewish brothers and sisters. I'm not talking about our Zionist brothers and sisters. I'm talking about our Jewish brothers and sisters. I don't think Mel knows where to draw the line. And Rupert Murdoch will just, I mean, come on. He gave money to Hillary Clinton. He'll give money to any politician that will allow him to do whatever it is that he wants to do in any particular given time, in any particular country of his choosing. And that includes David Cameron. That includes the political structure of the United States. That's including, to a large degree, the Harper government in Canada. I mean, Africa has Murdoch news. It's unfair that one individual controls so much in terms of information, but that's what we're dealing with. You wanted fascism, some of you, and now we're dealing with it. And how do you like it? you know, JT Reddy is just one of many. And, you know, all I can say is follow your leader. You dig? Which he did, obviously. You know, I mean, the word is, even though I understand that a lot of these neo-Nazis don't want to believe it, you know, they believe there's some kind of plot. Just like the Andrew Breitbart diddo-head fools out there who believe that there's some kind of a plot going on, some kind of malfeasance, some skullduggery, that this is an Agatha Christie story and plot against their propagandist. No. You might remember a video not too long before all of that happened to Breitbart. He kind of lost it at a crowd of Occupy protesters. And it just seemed like it was just a matter of time before his heart just, you know, gave up. And that's what the coroner's report says. And that's all there is to it. And like Tony Snow, he will be remembered. But, you know, that's it. Is that a conspiracy there? No, you know. I mean, the whole fact that he was able to have a career at all is a conspiracy. You know, the fact that he could crash Akon that didn't do anything wrong is a conspiracy. The fact that he caused Shirley Sherrod her job, that was a conspiracy. The fact that he tried to institute or get more racial antagonism going than we are already dealing with was a conspiracy. But, you know, none of his supporters and people who tell us to play fair and what have you will discuss that. Matt Taibbi said it best. He was the death of a douche. And, you know, his words, not mine, but I'm not going to say that I disagree. And in terms of JT Reddy, I'm going to say as well, I don't see any particular loss in this. In fact, I see this as, you know, a sign of that all of us on the left need to be paying attention to, that Günter Grass is pointing to, and the election in France has shown us as well, that the people who we are at odds with are insane. And you see what they're about. You see what they're willing to do. You see the type, the lengths that they're willing to go to. We see how the NRA has been acting after the death of Trayvon Martin and the fallout that has happened after Trayvon Martin. And we see how the National Rifle Association is acting. We see how Republicans are acting towards atheists, towards gay people, towards women. But before we go here, one thing I want to point out is that it's important to point out that, you know, the people we're dealing with have very small irregulars, that they are insane, that, I mean, the studies are out there. You know, racist people are stupid. Not just to say that they're stupid, they are scientifically stupid. Their brains are not rigged like the rest of us. They're scaredy cats. It's a genetic thing, I think, that is part of them. And, you know, a lot of it is bred in you, but, you know, a lot of it is just... When it comes to certain groups of people, I don't know. It just seems to be genetic. They just can't stop. Just can't stop the stupidity, the divisions between people. The, you know, all of this. You know, it's like they just have to have, they're like monkeys. They have to have all of the bananas, and to, you know, leave none for anybody else. And you know, again, you know, this is JT Reddy. This is all Nazis who think like this. This is all Republicans. Whether they call themselves libertarians, whether they call themselves constitutionalists or what have you. You know, all of them will talk this constitution nonsense and rule of law, except in the case like Trayvon Martin or Sean Bell or Oscar Grant. You know, rule of law, right? Rule of law, you know, except when Occupy protesters are being beaten up and unlawfully detained. Or like in the case of Seattle, because I still have a hard time letting this go. You had a female protester, a young woman who was kicked in the stomach by and maced by police officers, and she lost her child. And we're not hearing about that. We hear about Syria. We hear about a single protester in China, but we're not hearing about that. What's going on right here in the homeland, right? The homeland. Sounds Nazi, doesn't it? You know, which is why I say, you know, JT Reddy, we need to look at this. We need to learn from this. We need to remember that there are Marines, serving Marines in Afghanistan who are flying Nazi flags. And the Marine Corps seems to think that this isn't that big of a deal. The American news media reported on it, but they don't seem to think it was that much of a big deal either. They're not connecting it to people like JT Reddy. They're not connecting it to the fact that in Florida you just had a military I believe he was serving in the military, you know, training white supremacists for race war down in the state of Florida, you know, where Alan West did it. You think Alan West is going to say anything about that? If he does, I'll take everything I said back about him, you know, but I know he's not going to, because he's looking for communists. You know, that's how desperate he is. You know, he's looking for communists. He's looking for anything that would get him on the side of what he believes to be the white power structure. Same thing that Herman Cain and Michael Steele and J.C. Watson he's doing. I'm not, you know, pulling them out and calling them out to be mean. I'm saying that it is what it is. That's where they stand. They don't stand with you and me. You know, they're not standing for justice. You know, they're not standing with Dr. Cornel West. And we can say a lot of things about Cornel West. Cornel West is a centrist. Cornel West is, to a large degree, an assimilationist. So is Tavis Smiley. But that doesn't mean that they're not dedicated to African people. That doesn't mean they're not dedicated to justice for African people. You know, at least, you know, with them, you could wear your hair naturally and not have to apologize for it. You did. See, but you couldn't work for Oprah Winfrey. Unless you're Toni Morrison and you're selling books and wear your hair naturally in her office, because she won't have it. You know, she won't have it. She's too busy trying to make sure that her network is working. I mean, I just recently saw her on the cover of her own magazine with a picture of herself with her arm around herself. Inadequate health care, unavailable child care. See, instead of talking about neo-Nazis and the threat that they present to the African community in the United States, especially after what happened during the Greensboro Massacre, which, you know, no, almost nobody wants to talk about. I believe that was 1978. You know, where neo-Nazis and American Nazi Party, the same Nazi Party that has an office in Washington, D.C., I'm talking about, and, you know, we should be talking about this after the death of J.T. Reddy, you know, they shot down a bunch of communist people and some, you know, shot at some black folks in, was it North Carolina? And Greensboro. And, you know, nothing. No, nothing. They still blame the communists for what happened. You know? And we need to discuss that. We need to discuss what this means. When we have a Nazi that can shoot up his family and then kill himself, and he was running for sheriff, and he was a pal of Sheriff Joe Arpaio. You know, we need to ask ourselves about this. We need to ask ourselves about the conservative sheriff that was working with Joe Arpaio that came out and turned out he was gay. You know, I mean, here he was, if we believe the man he was involved with, threatening to have him deported if he, I don't know, they had a disagreement and what have you. He threatened to have him deported. It turned out that, you know, they were part of this. And I thought Arpaio was against this kind of thing. You know, I thought the Nazis were against this sort of thing. The far right and the constitutionalists and the Republicans and the Tea Party are against this sort of thing. So like I said, they're hypocrites. Just like you got Larry Craig over here, hypocrite. You had that other politician in Florida who got caught in a men's room at a truck stop and claimed that he had no choice. You know, hypocrite. All of these people are hypocrites. So it's like, why is the left worried about somebody that would go berserk and then commit suicide, you know, like Hitler did? You know, why are we intimidated by people like this? We shouldn't be. You know, if it takes 18 of you to surround me and stab me up, you know, you're cowards. You're cowards. And that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a gang mentality. We're dealing with a gang mentality. When you need to belong to a gang, well, then, you know, you don't have the courage to stand on your own two feet. This is the Angry Indian, and you are listening to Intelligent Aboriginal Radio as we discuss America's descent into fascist hell. Stay tuned.
Your breakthrough is going to come. Hold on with your revolutionary patience. Step out on nothing and land on something.
You are listening to Angry Indian Radio, the podcast of the Aboriginal Press News Service. AboriginalPress.blogspot.com.
Voices Indigenous Radio brings to you the basics of how not to violate the law and presents the people who are fighting the war against Mother Earth. We bring the awareness of a different paradigm to the airwaves of WBAI as we shed the same old systematic paradigm that is killing Mother Earth. And you can hear the perspective of Indigenous peoples throughout the world and how they live with the law, land, air, and water. First Voices Indigenous Radio is produced in the studios of WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, streaming and archived on WBAI.org and FirstVoicesIndigenousRadio.org.
I'm Dick Gregory with PETA. Martin Luther King Jr. taught me the fight against oppression is never an easy one. It's even harder if you have no voice. For animals held captive in circuses, life consists of cramped cages, shackles, and daily beatings. There is no escape. They cannot demand their freedom. Images like these bring only one word to my mind, slavery. Be an abolitionist for the animals. Please don't go to circuses. For more information, contact PETA.
757-622-PETA.
Hey, this is Jonathan Colton, and you're listening to a podcast released under a Creative Commons license. CC, baby. Check it out.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
Hey, what do you think about this idea? Since we freed the slaves in 1865, don't you think the black race owes the white race reparations? I was thinking like $20,000, you know, per person. I mean, anybody that's not on welfare.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
This is Radio Anguindian. Anguindian Radio for the Fourth World.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's Mike Malloy.
Did I mention? Yeah, I think I did. I think I mentioned that. Didn't I? 25 before the hour. Lawrence is calling from Michigan, listening on XM. Hello, Lawrence. Hello.
Mike.
Hey, Lawrence. How are you?
Yeah, Mike, I'm doing pretty good. Hey, Mike, you know, I was listening to you, and one thing I wanted to comment on, you know, being a supporter of Obama who got out and beat it the pavement to get people to vote for him. And I look at what he's doing now, and I see so many black people mesmerized by the fact that we got a black president. What I wanted to say, Mike, and please give me some feedback on this, Barack Obama is a politician. Quit looking at his color and look at him as a pure politician.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know what we're getting from Mitt Romney.
Right.
We know that. But you see, this is my beef with Barack Obama. What has he did for the inner cities? The black, the white, the disadvantage in the inner cities. I'm a product of affirmative action. I'm 54. I used to live in Atlanta, did over a decade in Atlanta. My point is this. All the money that he's raising and all the connects that he got with the millionaires and the billionaires on the left, why can't he rally these people and have them cooperate or partnership with different philanthropists throughout the country and revitalize the inner city? We don't hear him talking about revitalizing the inner city with all these millionaires and billionaire friends who support him. See, my thing is simply this. Mitt Romney represents one faction of millionaires and billionaires in this country. Obama represents another faction of millionaires and billionaires in this country. And all us poor working slobs, we caught in the middle.
Well, you got that right, Lawrence. The other thing, too, Obama... I'm not trying to defend him here on a racial basis because I don't have any right to get into this, but the threats against Obama because of his race have been just incomprehensible. I keep reading little bits and pieces around the internet about FBI and Secret Service reports that threats against his life are just out of control. Now, I think Obama understands that while he's an historic figure, because of his race. Let's be real here. He's an historic figure. But he also knows he's an historic figure in the United States. And he also knows the United States is a horrifically deep in the slop racist country. And he also knows that there are millions of white people out there who would love to enter the history books as the person who offed the first black president of the United States. You know that. I know that. The Secret Service knows that. As a result of that, partly as a result of this, and I'll probably get some argument about this, but I don't care. As a result of part of that, he has stayed away from the race issue as much as he could. Look how, and by race issue, I mean inner city. We all know what that means. Urban, we all know what that means. Look at the reaction he got when all he said was a simple statement about Trayvon Martin. If I had a son, it would look like him. Duh! What the hell would he look like? White? I mean, what would he look like if Barack Obama had a son? He sure would look like Trayvon Martin. But look what happened when he made a simple, empathetic statement for those parents and for Americans who were concerned that someone gunned down a kid and is still walking free. So I'm not going to defend Obama on his policies. I'm not going to defend Obama on his mistreatment of poor folk and working folk and all of us who are trying to make it. And we're all aware that Obama does cater to and suck up to these white millionaires and billionaires. We understand that. But on the other hand, you take a look at what this man's up against. Don't forget what he's president of. He's president of the United States. And let's not forget what the United States is. It's a racist sewer. You know that a lot better than I do, Lawrence, I'm betting. Right?
You're right, Mike.
Can I get an amen?
You know you can get an amen. I give you a paraphrase and everything else because you're dead on the money. And the fact is, though, but here's the flip. Everything you said, I agree with it, is dead on the money. But it begs the question is, since Obama and all of us people that got a brain understand the facts as they are, we can't keep ducking the issues. We're going to have a real serious talk about race. Obama won't have that talk.
He can't. Lawrence, he can't. He can't have that talk. It's just like when who went to China to try to break the ice with the Chi-Coms? It was Richard Nixon, a right winger who had played the communist card all through his political career. Who was it that went to China? Nixon, a red baiting right wing Republican. Who's going to have to make the first step to have that discussion about race you're talking about? It's going to have to be a Caucasian. It cannot be an African-American. It's going to have to be a Caucasian who's going to have to make that first step. I don't know who it would be. I don't know who has the I don't know who has the power to do it. I don't know who has the understanding to do it. I don't know who has the charisma to do it. But I know this. It cannot be Barack Obama or any black man. Black folks been trying to get that conversation started. Come on, Lawrence. For 300 years, they've been trying to get that conversation started. So I hear what you're saying. I respect what you say. I don't like Obama's policies, a lot of them. Some of them I do. He is a corporatist. He is what he is. He does have these millionaire and billionaire people. He's not going to press on them to do something about the so-called inner city, or it doesn't have to be the inner city. I mean, the suburbs are hurting too. White folk, black folk, working folk, everybody has just been hammered, had the crap knocked out of them because of the Bush economy. So that's where we are. And Lawrence, I got to leave it there. I hope you call again, pal. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in. There's nothing that a black man can do to initiate a conversation about this race thing that's been hanging over this country for 300 plus years. There just isn't. And like I said, there have been black folk who have tried and tried and tried and tried to get Caucasians to just sit down across the table from me. Just listen to what I have to say. Just try to walk 10 feet, not a mile, in my shoes. Try to understand. Try to take our point of view. We built this country. We have no equity stake in the country. We weren't immigrants. We were imports. Y'all brought us here. We didn't ask to come over here. Give us a break by just listening. Are you kidding me? How many Caucasians are going to do that? I would do it, but I don't have the power of a pissant. I have no power. I mean, I'll sit and listen. I've listened to that. I've had that conversation, but I'm not the president. And I'm not some white billionaire, trillionaire, quadrillionaire, you know. I'm just me. And it's a shame. Barack Obama is the president of all the people. But he has to be very careful that he doesn't let these racist bastards get the slightest purchase on him. Because if they do, then it's just going to be a horrific mess for this president. And as far as the threats against him, you know, some of them make the news. 99% of them don't. The Secret Service, the FBI, the whoever, the whatever, they don't want all this getting out. How many threats are made? How many times the White House been shot at just since this man has been president? You know where we live. You know what this culture is about. By you, I mean, you know, there's not a black person in America that doesn't get that. And there's a lot of whites who get it, too. But there's a lot of whites that don't. What's the matter with those people? Damn, we've done everything for them. Right? I just don't get it. And it's a shame that there's not a Frederick Douglass or an Al Sharpton or pick a name who can get the attention of white people. I mean, really get the attention and try to open up the dialogue that is so desperately needed in this country. Nah. You know, it's just not going to happen. And there's legitimate reasons why it should happen. There's legal reasons why it should happen. There's moral reasons why it should happen. There's ethical reasons why it should happen. There's economic reasons why that dialogue should begin. There are spiritual reasons why that dialogue should begin. There are all sorts of reasons why that dialogue should begin. But it's going to take a powerful white man or white woman to do it. It's going to take a Caucasoid to do it. Because white folks only listen to other white people. Are you kidding me? Come on. Come on. That's the curse of being Caucasian.
White society wants you to know that anti-African racial hatred is a thing of the past.
We are the Ku Klux Klan. We hate niggers, we hate Jews, we hate faggots, and we hate specs. We don't have to have a reason to hate. People need to get off your ass and wake up. This is America.
With white people showing love like this, who needs enemies? Intelligent Aboriginal Radio. The anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
No, I've often said that thank God for slavery because, you know, had not, then the blacks who were here would have been stuck in Africa. And you see how bad Africa, everybody and mama trying to get out of Africa and come to America. Mm-hmm. And so God has a way of looking out for folks, and he made it possible by way of slavery to get black folks into this country. But 100% American. Proud of it. I thank God that he saw fit for me to get here. Never mind that, you know, we were sold. I mean, my ancestors way back, way yonder when, were sold by Arabs and blacks to white folks and got us here. The white man came and brought us to the greatest country in the world. The ride over was pretty tough, but, you know, it's like riding on a crowded airplane and when you're not in first class. It's a tough ride, but you're happy when you get to your destination. And so the ride was tough over here. The pain for freedom was tough, you know, because in life, if you want to gain something, you got to lose something. No pain, no gain. So it was a tough, the pain was tough, all for the sake of freedom. So I thank God that he got me here, and to show my appreciation to the blacks who suffer as a result of coming here, and the Arabs and blacks who sold us to the white man for going there and getting us and bringing us here, I want to say thanks.
This is Howard Zinn. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced false news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured, targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Well, as long as it's in the streets, it's in the hands of the masses of black people who will not compromise or who cannot be bought out.
This is why I say it's the ballot or the bullet. It's liberty or it's death. It's freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody.
The white power structure today is just as much interested in perpetuating slavery as the white power structure was 100 years ago. Only now they use modern methods of doing so.
Now they didn't have to shoot that old lady down like a dog. They didn't have to do that. It's one old woman in that house. I've got burglar bars there to try to protect her. I've got mercury lights out there to keep it bright and light. I'm as mad as hell. And somebody's gonna answer to that.
It's a national problem. The African-American community throughout the United States is under siege.
I was scared. I thought she was going to die. Because she was in that land beside the door.
Shirley Wilson had passed out.
I'm dying. That's because that's what I believe I did for I don't know how long I was
they
out.
They think that we are supposed to stand back and take it, but we're here to serve notice that no more. It stops here. Yeah, the buck stops here.
But if they think they can kill black people with impunity, they will continue to kill us. That's the reality that we are confronted with.
He got scared when he seen my little brother talk from right here, and he shot my brother in the back.
In America, black people are treated very much as the Vietnamese people or any other colonized people, because we're used, we're brutalized. The police in our community occupy our area, our community as a foreign troop occupies territory.
Because everything you got, the suburb that you live in, the tree-lined community that you go to and safely every day, has come as a consequence of what you have stolen from my people, from me. You have inherited the wealth that was created by my mama, my grandmama, and I'm going to take it back no matter what you do.
You have been listening to Angrindian Radio. AngrindianRadio.blogspot.com.
Intelligent Aboriginal Radio, the anti-colonial cure for mental slavery.
I'm going to play a clip of an ad for the amendment. Supporters and opponents funneled some $3 million into their campaigns. This is an ad put out by the pro-amendment group Vote for Marriage North Carolina.
Marriage has been one man and one woman since before North Carolina was a state. It's what God created to give children a mother and a father. By defining marriage in the state constitution, only voters can determine what marriage means. Everyone, gay or straight, is free to live as they choose, but nobody has the right to redefine marriage. 30 other states have voted to protect marriage. This is our turn. Vote for the Marriage Protection Amendment.
William Robinson, can you talk about the forces behind the pro-amendment campaign?
Yeah, if we look at the people who sponsor this amendment, we see they have a track record, not of unity, but of division. We're talking about the same people that sponsor this amendment, sponsor cutting $1.6 billion from our public school budget. They created the racial redistricting lines. They also are responsible for attacked on women health and women choice right to choose. These people do not care about morality. And if they want to protect families, they should be creating jobs. The real reason people get divorced is money, not because someone else's relationship.
There's a particular group called Return America, which was one of the main backers of this amendment. Can you say a little about the group and its founder, Dr. Beatty?
Absolutely. I have a couple. First of all, I take aims with Return America. Who has America? Where do you want to return America? You want to return America to when women couldn't vote? when black people couldn't sit beside white people on a bus, or maybe when black people were counted as three-fifths. We're talking about return to America. Return it to what? These are the greatest days of America. And though we have issues, I don't see a time in history when America was more inclusive than it is now. And Dr. Beatty is the same gentleman that when now President Obama was Senator Obama running for the presidency, called President Obama the Antichrist and said he was on his way to hell. So I think if we look at the people behind this amendment and the people that support it, and then you tie that into the memos that came out of National Organization for Marriage that said that their main objective is to pit gays against black, you see who's behind this amendment. And then I think Dr. Barber also mentioned it as well in that video that you just showed a clip of, that if you check the who, then you know why.
Robinson, the NAACP in North Carolina lobbied against Amendment 1, issued a statement explaining why they, quote, secret documents obtained from the National Organization for Marriage, which, according to the NAACP, reveal a strategy of divide and rule by those pushing the amendment. The document from the National Organization for Marriage reads, quote, the strategic goal of this project is to drive a wedge between gays and blacks, two key Democratic constituencies. Find, equip, energize, and connect African-American spokespeople for marriage. Develop a media campaign around their objections to gay marriage as a civil right. Provoke the gay marriage base into responding by denouncing these spokesmen and women as bigots. No politician wants to take up and push an issue that splits the base of his party. Fanning the hostility raised in the wake of Prop 8 is key to raising the cost of pushing gay marriage to its advocates. Find attractive young black Democrats to challenge white gay marriage advocates electorally. Can you talk about this document?
To me, any American should feel disgusted that anybody is seeking to do anything like this. This is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about race baiting, divisive politics, wedge issues. This has nothing to do with morality. If anything, it's the opposite of morality. This is strictly political. These people care not about gay marriage. They care about one thing, and that's securing their political strength.
But that issue of the black community, and especially the church community, can you talk about where black churches came down on Amendment 1?
Absolutely. It's obvious. When you see Dr. Barber and the group of gentlemen standing behind him, that's an event that we planned here in the Triad in Greensboro, North Carolina. And though there was not 200 plus African-American clergy, there were those people represent that many people. There were several groups in African-American groups in Greensboro, in the Triad, across this state that stood against this amendment. And they were groups of African-American clergy members. But first of all, I want to talk about that. There's never been a consensus on the African-American voice, or there's no one voice. There's good people, black people and white people on both sides of this issue. But what there is a strong pull or force by the opposition, this conservative agenda, to make people think that black people are against this amendment. This amendment was not written by black clergy or black people in general. It was written by those white legislators in Raleigh.